the family of God. Now at this time, Nate, Miss Donna's going to be playing their instruments, and It Is Well With My Soul.
Does the children have verses tonight? How many of you children have verses tonight? You got your verses? Why don't you come on up? Let's do that, all right? And we'll have you say your verses. I'll tell you what, I'll turn that on. And then let's go with Red tonight, all right? Good group of young people here tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Y'all make this service even better, don't they? Just knowing they're here. And if you have something, you just go right ahead. If not, just pass it right along. But you're always a great encouragement to us. And so we're ready to go, Mr. Stone.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
Amen.
Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah,
Jeremiah,
Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi.
Amen.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Amen.
Matthew 7:7.
Amen.
Genesis 1:1. Make it joyful to the Lord.
You're doing good.
Genesis 1:1. Make it in the beginning. God the greatest, heaven and earth.
Amen. Very good. Good job.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel.
Very good.
Every good and perfect gift is from above.
Amen. Very good.
Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yes, very good. Amen. What a blessing. Thank y'all for being such an encouragement. Wasn't that an encouragement? Thank God for them. And we appreciate y'all's faithfulness. And I'll tell you what, before y'all go back to your seats tonight, won't y'all do, well, it's not me a blessing. You be a blessing, all right? Here's how I'm going to get you to be a blessing. Make sure you tell your parents tonight, let them know how much you appreciate them for having you in church tonight. Will you thank them? Because I promise you this, when you get older, you'll be even more thankful. Amen? So you make sure you tell them you appreciate them and love them. Amen? Y'all can be seated. What a great job. Man, I'm telling you, what an encouragement. And I'll tell you how quickly these young people grow, right? And man, thinking about William there, I mean, my goodness, when I got here, he was a little fella. And little Natalie was a little. And then some of them wasn't even born yet. So we're glad they're here, and thank God. I want to just encourage the parents. I can promise you this, there's a whole lot of other places you could have them tonight. So I want to encourage you and say I thank God for you. And your faithfulness is much of an encouragement to me as well. Quickly, I want to give a couple of things here. I like the signs. I love that our neighbor, he beat us to it. When we got home today, our neighbor had his sign up in his yard. Loved it. And I've drove around a little bit, and I've seen these signs. And so I want to say to you, there's plenty more back there. If you're watching online, you're a member of this church, you need to swing by the church and get you a sign. It needs to be up in your yard. And then if you know of someone else that could use a sign, go ahead and get it. We've got several back there. And if you've not got one this morning, make sure you get one. And people will pay attention to it. They'll look at it. They'll see our church name on there. But also know that we're that church that believe that we're trusting in God. Amen. I think that's a pretty good testimony. And so will you open the precious word of God tonight to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And you know, we've been trying to go right through the book. We're in chapter 9. And we're going to begin with verse 13. If you remember, we ended in chapter 8. We started these trumpet judgments. We got to the fourth one, and then in verse 13 of chapter 8, the angel declared three more woes. And so since that time, we started in chapter 9, and so we looked at the first trumpet, or the fifth trumpet, and we see that, just to be quite honest with you, I kind of named that on Wednesday, the hordes of hell. Really, hell was unleashed upon earth and the inhabitants of the earth during the tribulation. Now, I must say this before I go any further. This morning, I got an encouraging text. Well, it was this afternoon after the service. A good friend of ours, we love them dearly, sent me a text. And he said, "Great sermon, Clint." He said, that was an encouraging message, Clint. And he put Clint in parentheses. Amen. And so, hey, I know people out there listening to the message. Amen. And I come to find out my wife always helps me. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I knew she said something in that moment, and I really couldn't remember exactly what she said. So Clint Eastwood's what popped in my mind. But really, you said, she said she was impressed. So that was better than Clint. So anyway, either way, I'll make your day if you try to break into my house. All right, Revelation. And who says a place of worship can't be a place of laughter? Some people need to learn how to laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year." So a specific time for what? "To slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed." This is astounding to me. "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." Another astounding verse. Now think about this now. This brings horror. "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorrows, or their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us tonight, illuminate, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we continue in chapter 9. We're dealing with the sixth trumpet, the second of these three woes that was pronounced in chapter 8, verse 13. In our last study, we found the bottomless pit was opened, releasing a destructive demonic horde from hell. This continues for 5 months, the Bible says. But when that judgment is over, this sixth trumpet is sounded and things get even worse. Now, I want everyone listening tonight to keep in mind, this is after chapter 4, verse 1. So we realize that this is during the tribulation period, and the saints of God, The saints that are living today and that will die before this day will be in heaven worshiping in the throne room. They'll be in heaven to be forever with the Lord. So people that are saved are not going to know this horror. But this is future events that's going to take place. The Bible very clearly says on the earth dwellers. So the folks that remain, those are the ones that have rejected the gospel. They've rejected Christ. And so we see that it's interesting that John heard a voice from between the horns of the golden altar in verse 13. And then I want you to notice the world has refused to believe, and the world refuses to believe that God will judge sin. But that is exactly what he is doing during the tribulation period. And by the way, he judges sin today too. And so we understand, let's look at this. Really, I'm just going to name it. We could name it the second trumpet of woe or the second woe, or we can just look at the sixth trumpet, whatever you want to do. That's what we're looking at tonight. So I really don't know the title for it. I just want to get to the truth. So I want to, and by the way, let me just say this quickly. I meant to say this a moment ago. There are ties in the back. If any of you men need some nice neckties, they're right back or the back. I keep forgetting to, and I know it's probably not the appropriate time to do that, but I've been forgetting to do that, and there's some nice ties back there, so if any of you men would like them, they are free for you to have. So we see this sixth trumpet of woe. Let's look at number one here as we look at this passage. Let's look at the release of fallen angels. The release of fallen angels. Look at verse number 14. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels. Now, it's interesting. We see that these are angels that are bound, and they're revealed in this passage of Scripture. It's revealed their evil nature of these angels. And so they have been bound by God, and they're going to be released during the tribulation period. And we understand this, and the Bible's very clear, and I want you to notice, where are they bound? I think their location is interesting for the fact in verse 14, the Bible says that they're going to be bound, they are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, you say, Pastor, why is the Euphrates River something of note? But this was a river of prominence in the Bible. By the way, we believe that this is, we know that that river is in the middle of Iraq, but we also believe that that was where the Garden of Eden was, between the two great rivers. So we understand that this river has great prominence in the Word of God. By the way, this is where that God created the Garden of Eden. Man was created there, and he committed the first sin there. Cain slew Abel near this river. Noah and the flood were in that region. It was where the first great apostasy took place and sprang up against God as Nimrod conspired to build the Tower of Babel. So it's a place of great prominence. And the Bible says that these angels have been bound in the river Euphrates. So we see their location, and then I want you to notice the Bible talks about their preparation. What were they prepared for? Now this is interesting. But the Bible says they were loosed, which were prepared for what? An hour and a day and a month and a year. Now listen to me. God is very specific. There is a specific preparation here. God has bound these angels, listen to me, for an exact moment in time. Now we've considered much that is difficult to imagine. And it may appear to unbelievers that the world is spinning out of control even in this day, and that somehow God has completely lost control of what's going on here. Listen to me. No, the exact opposite. God knows exactly what's going on. And by the way, he's the one that has bound these angels, and he is the one loosing these angels to bring judgment upon those who have rejected him. So we see that he is a sovereign God in control of every detail of this world. He has bound these angels, and they will be loosed at his command. And this is just a portion of his plan to judge the sin of the world. So when I say to you, and when we read about this loving God, never be blind to the fact, yes, he is a loving God, but he is a just, holy God. He is judging. He will judge. So we see their preparation. We see their intention. Look at verse 15. What's their intention? You say, well, what's these angels going to do? What are these angels going to do? The Bible very clearly says in verse 15, to slay the third part of men. Now, I want you to notice something. We go back to chapter 6, verse 8. We've seen the pale horse, the four horsemen. We read of the one riding the horse, and he was called Death, and there was a quarter of the world's population killed then. So that quarter's already gone. And then that's not even talking about all the ones that have died because of the plagues and the bitter water. This is another great, massive death of men, of mankind. So one third of the remaining population will be killed. Now think of this. Consider this. Nearly half of the world population will have died in just a few short years during the tribulation period. Their intention. No doubt every home, every family, every person will have faced death in their family. So we see the release of these fallen angels, verse 14 and 15. I want you to see, as it gets, the horror even gets greater. Look at verse 16 through 19. We see a raid of a fierce army here. The release of these fallen angels brings an invasion of a fierce army. This army will march under the influence of these demonic angels. And to be honest with you, they're going to be marching under the command of the forces of hell. So look at their abundance, verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. Now, y'all know me. I'm not very good in math. So I had to get a little help on this. You know who he's talking about here? 200 million men. Now, you know what most people right now are thinking? And by the way, when I first done that, look, I said, well, wait, there's not a country on this earth. Somebody said it. There's not a country on this earth that could man a 200 million man army. Oh, yes, there is. I looked it up. Guess who that's becoming very prominent on the world stage? The most overpopulated country in the world. Our dear friends, China. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be communist China, but I'm just telling for anyone that says, that's impossible. No, it's very impossible. It's very possible. Do you know I looked up a consensus or a census of the country of China in 2018? Do you know how many men that is living now in China? 713 million. They're the most overpopulated country in the world. If you look at their statements, why? Because they realize there is advantages to having men. One of those is to be able to devise a great army. Can I help everybody in our church today? Communism is not our friend. See, back in the 60s and 70s, we understood that great, but now it's like our whole country's gotten cloudy on all that. No, they've not changed. They're still, look at me, anti-God. Thank God we've got some precious, I've got to be careful, we've got some folks, praise God, doing their best. But what about their appearance? I think this is interesting, the way that this army is described. As this army approached, John sees this vision. The Bible says in verse 17 and 19, he said, I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and adjacent and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth, and I thought this was interesting, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now this army is also seen wearing breastplates of this fire, brimstone. So when this army approached, they in his vision, no doubt he can't help but see they've engulfed in flames and fire and smoke and brimstone. You know, that tells me a lot about warfare today. But this army is marching under the collars and the banner of hell. Their breastplates, I believe, make a statement about their relationship to evil. This was likely to be a human army controlled by Satan. And John uses symbolic language here. Now, I said this earlier. Remember, he's trying to describe in the first century what's not even happened yet. But the Bible said their horses' heads were as the heads of lions. And I'm going to be honest with you. It says their fierce-looking nature and their fire, smoke, and brimstone out of their mouths. Well, that's interesting. I could think of a lot of things where fire and you know, I've heard generals say about their artillery. They had unleashed absolute hell on earth on people through artillery and through great tanks and different battles refers to tanks, or it could be helicopters, but it's vehicles firing missiles and warheads. Look, it's amazing what can be done today with destruction. But I can promise you this, the world's never seen an army like this. The Bible says in verse 19, their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were likened to serpents. Think about it. It could refer very simply to tanks, to helicopters, any vehicle firing out fire and brimstone, destruction. And so we understand that this is going to be a fierce army like it's never been seen. And I'm not just talking about in a place. This is going to be worldwide. So we see their appearance. Then I want you to notice their atrocity. Look at verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed. By what three? The fire and the smoke and the brimstone. Clearly, this army isn't on a peacekeeping mission. This army is out to restore, to destroy. That is their whole goal, and to kill one third of, listen, countless millions of people will fall at the hands of this army. Now, I hate to say this, but in another way, I'm comforted to be able to say it. Thank God when this is going on, I'm going to be in the throne room. I'm going to be, how many of y'all going to be with me? Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, Brother Mark, how you going to get there? I'm glad you asked, through the blood of Jesus. It's been applied to my life. I'm an old, nasty sinner, but Jesus Christ paid for my sin. I ought to be down there having to face this army. Praise God, because of his good grace and love, when I wasn't looking for him, he was looking for me. And he saved my old wretched soul from this horror to come. And listen to me, church, we have a voice, we have a message, we have a remedy. God, help us if we stay quiet about it. We need to quit talking about everything that's bad, and we need to start pointing people to Jesus, put them signs up proudly and say, yes, we are trusting in God in these days. No, we're not defeated. No, we're not discouraged. No, we're not depressed. We're on the winning side. Amen. And I'm going to keep doing that until I get some amens here. How many of y'all glad you're on the winning side? Well, shout it with me. Let's start out here in the Lookout. How many of y'all live in Lookout Valley? How about y'all just wake up in the morning, instead of firing up your lawnmower, just get out on your front porch and say, I just want the whole community to know that I'm a saved old sinner and I love Jesus. Well, I'm here right now. Do you see what's going on in the news? I don't care what's going on in the news. I'm telling you, I'm saved by the good grace of God. How about we start using Facebook for something halfway decent too? Put something on there positive. Put something on there that gives somebody victory. And let's quit discouraging everybody. We're on the winning side. I'm not a loser. You're not a loser. You're a winner. And Jesus has given us everything. I think it's time some Christians get excited about it. Yes. We get excited about everything else. We get tore up and up in a pansy about everything else. And oh my goodness, did you hear what's going on? Do you know what's going to happen when this is going on down here on earth? I am going to be up around the throne of God worshiping the one who saved me, praise God. So we might as well go ahead and get excited now because we're going to do it forever. I'm working here. Y'all could help me. I'm glad he's excited about something. No, it's time the church gets excited. I'm telling you, church, I'm sick of defeat. I'm sick of hearing a bunch of whining. I'm sick of hearing myself whine. I'm sick of me sitting around and going, oh my goodness, I don't know what we're going to do. I know what we're going to do. We're going to trust the Lord. He's going to get us through it. And praise God, we're going to be up there around the throne. So we might as well go ahead and get a head start. Now, how many of y'all already feel better? Would y'all raise your hand? Some of you need some work. I mean, I'm out of breath. And I'm not trying to do it. I'm trying to contain myself here. But sometimes it just pops out on you. Sometimes I'm going to help my wife here tonight. Honey, you remind me of this right now. You remind me. When I'm walking down the hall, we won't be walking down the thing tomorrow, we'll be in the car. But if I'm in the truck with you in the morning, and I start getting on politics, and I start getting all grouchy, remind me of tonight. Right? We're on the winning side. And by the way, every wife here, you ought to have the kind of relationship that you can help your husband. That means every once in a while, you just got to say, now, honey. And if they know you well enough, they know what that means. Here it comes. But at least, oh, look, let me help everybody. He'll take it if you do it alone. Don't embarrass him. Do it at home. Do it in the car. We're going to have a 6-hour trip tomorrow. And I tell you right now, honey, we're going to talk about the victory. Because you know what? When all this hordes of hail, I'm going to be worshiping. And look at me. I don't deserve that. I praise his holy name. So we see the release of the fallen angels. We see the raid of the fierce army. But I want to close with this tonight. This astounds me. I want you to notice the rebellion even in the midst of all this. Verse 20 and 21 is astounding to me. It's astounding to me. After all this death, after all this carnage, after all this judgment upon earth, 1/3 of mankind dead, awful atrocities taking place. And here's what the Bible said. The Bible said that the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. In other words, so they're not going to change a thing. They're rebellion against the Lord. You know what I'm just going to say? I'm going to make myself. This is not a wine job. I'm just being honest. You know, we all struggle with this, but Laura and I was just kind of joking the other day. I think we might. You know, I'm just going to say it. I think I've gotten to a point where I think I need to just step down from being a preacher. You say, well, why, Pastor? Because I'm going to be honest, I think sometimes I'm wasting my time. I'm just being honest. Now, it ain't about me. But you know what helped me here at this passage? That's who we are. Here right in the middle of all this, they've seen all this judgment and they're still. They still don't listen. They still don't change. They still don't repent. They still rebel against the Lord. And so I just thought, man, look, this is not only true today because I've rebelled against the Lord as well. I've not listened to people that's loved me. here's the thing. You would think one day, after a while, if there was enough judgment, if there was enough fierceness, if there was enough death, that it would finally get a hold of people and say, well, we got to stop this stuff. But you know what the Bible said? They still rebelled against the Lord. That amazes me. They deny the true and living God, but they're busy. They're busy. During the tribulation period, they're busy worshiping idols. And here's what's sad about it. They're busy worshiping these idols. And here's the saddest part of this whole verse. Which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. And we have a God. And He walks with me, and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And I know, bless Miss Janine's heart, we love Miss Janine, but I know how Miss Janine's getting through this. Because He's walking with you, and He's talking with you, and He's confirming that you're His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there. I want you to know, look what they're going to miss. The rebellion against God. Look, by the way, many in our day are caught up in this type of activity. People don't like to hear it. They don't like to admit it. But if we're not worshiping Him, we're worshiping ourselves. If we're not serving Him, we're serving ourselves. And so I want to say we cannot have it both ways. Joshua said, if it seem evil to you, serve the Lord. But he said, as far as my house, what did he say? He said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Look, here's all God's saying, and it's true. Man is going to worship something. Man is going to worship something. If we're going to worship something, let's make sure we worship the right one. Because in the tribulation period, they're still going to worship, but it's going to be anything and everything but the Lord. That just blows my mind. After all this, they're still sticking their hand up in the face of God, saying, we will not. And then we see the rebellion among their lives. Now this brings horror to me as I think about this. Because I want to open up this verse. As I read this verse, done a little study on this verse, I'm just going to be honest, it amazes me. Because look what it says. Neither repented they of their murders. Now, this is what's amazing about this. You know what they said here? The Bible said they neither repented of their murders, nor their sorceries, or their fornication, or their thefts. So what's that mean? No restraint. They're going to keep doing it. I want you to think about why law and order is so important. And I want you to look at this now. They will indulge in these practices during the tribulation. Listen to me. They will indulge. Now, by the way, we have a murder problem today. But in tribulation period, you ain't seen nothing yet. Bible says they will not repent of their murders. In other words, we live in a murder society today, but they will only increase that during the tribulation period. Then I want you to notice the other wording, and I thought this interesting. My brother-in-law talked about this years ago before I really even was interested in things. I remember we were driving back from Salem Revival Grounds in West Virginia, and he brought this topic up, and we used the word. The word here in the Bible says sorceries. Now, what is that? That's interesting. Now, I'm not a huge Greek scholar, but I do understand this, and I learned this many, many years ago, but I've never really thought about it. I've not really spent a lot of time on it. But here's the same word. This sorcery comes from the word that we get pharmakeia from, which would be our pharmacy. It literally means the use of administering drugs. And if you think we have a drug addiction today, which we do, it's going to increase during the tribulation period.
And then the Bible says they're not going to repent of their sorcery, which is their drug abuse. And by the way, there are families ripped apart today because of drug abuse. There are people that can't even allow their family members in their own home because they've stolen everything from them. The chaos that this drug addiction has, even in our society, it's only going to heighten and get worse. And I want to just look everybody in the eye, eyeball to eyeball, right here with me. I'm telling you straight. Jesus Christ is our source of life, nothing else. Nothing else. If I'm going to get through the day, it's because of Jesus, nothing else. Listen to me now. Jesus is the source of our life. We must stay right there. Thank God that we have things that can aid us and help us and administer health to us. But listen to me. Don't get your eyes off Jesus. He's it, folks. He will sustain you through the darkest of nights. But we see that there's going to be an increase of drug addiction. And all the atrocities that go along, they're not going to repent of it. They're going to look at the face of God and they're going to say, we're not stopping murdering. We're not going to repent of drug abuse, sorcery, witchcraft, all of it. So we're not going to do it. That's going to increase the tribulation. And then look at this, fornication. Now this is interesting because this is the same word that we get porneia from, which we all know what this means. Because we have children here, there's going to be all kinds of illicit sins and they're not going to repent of it. And by the way, we're almost there now. Do you know that that industry is a million, listen to me, billions and billions of dollars every year on that industry today right now. It's a real problem. Somebody say amen. That's why everybody ought to have their iPads, their phones, their computers. Everybody's got to have accountability. Everybody. Nobody gets a pass. You know why? Because we're all, oh, worthless sinners. But it's going to increase during the tribulation period. And then I want you to notice what they say. They say, we're not going to stop thieving. They're going to put their hand in the face of God and say, we're not repenting. We're going to be a murderer. And by the way, we already live in a murderous society. It's going to get worse. We already live in a drug-addicted society. It's going to get worse. We already live in a fornicating society. It's only going to get worse. And then we live in a thieving community now or a society now. My truck has been broken into twice in the last 2 years. Now, praise God, I ain't got anything in there. For anybody out there listening, you're looking for an easy way. All you're going to get is tracts and a Bible. Somebody say amen. And by the way, I've learned I ain't never stole anything out. They strung them tracts all over my truck, and they threw the Bibles in the floor, but they ain't never taken a thing. I wouldn't have minded them if they take the Bible and the tracts. Somebody say amen. It sounds like to me they need them. Because I tell you what Jesus will do. He'll quit you. He'll help you to quit thieving. And making our honest living. Somebody say amen. Y'all need to help me. I know y'all want to get out of here tonight, but y'all are helping fire me up too. But there's going to be no restraints. In other words, here's what they say. We ain't going to stop, and we're not even going to stop. We're going to get worse. We're going to thieve. Consider the hardships the tribulation is going to bring. The lack of food, pure drinking water, basic necessities of man. You know what people are going to be doing? They're going to be trying to stay alive. Now, I'm going to just close it down with this right here. Ain't none of us going to want to be here. So make sure you're not going to be. And anybody listening online, and by the way, if you're not listening tonight and you listen to this later, it's still for you. You don't want to be left behind. And I'm going to just go a step farther. I wouldn't want anybody I love to be left behind. It would motivate me enough to go home today. And if they don't live near me, I'd get on the phone and I'd call them with tears and say, oh, God, I'm worried about you. Would you please let me talk to you for a few minutes? I mean, it ought to motivate us to action. It ought to make us get a handful of tracts back there. And next time we go to Walmart, we ought to give it to the cashier. We ought to give it to someone looking at the bread. And we said, hey, I want just you to know we live in a bad day with bad news, but I got good news for you. Would you take it? I mean, look, church, we have the answer. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the way. Let's be given the way. Let's tell them. So, well, I don't want them to get offended. They're going to get offended about something. You might as well go ahead and make it worth their while. Look at me. People's fickle. People is fickle. How many of y'all know people's fickle? Y'all know how I know people's fickle? Because I'm fickle. Y'all fickle? How many of y'all like things a certain way? You like things a certain way? Raise your hand, would you? How many of you don't care? Well, then you're fickle. Because you don't care. The other people want to. So you see, we're all fickle. So I'm just saying, well, I tell you what, that bothered me. Well, at least if something's going to bother you, make sure it's worth getting bothered over. So give them a track. Tell them about Jesus. Say, hey, you know, this is some rough days, this quarantine. But I'll tell you what now. I'll tell you what, you don't want to be quarantined to hell. And so we don't want anybody to go through this. This is just the second of the woes. We got another one coming. Half of the population is going to be dead. Now let's make that real and we'll close. Could one of those people killed by this army be a family member or a friend? Let's make it personal. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you be honest tonight? You say, Pastor, I have a friend, I have a family, I have a coworker, somebody I know, and they really don't have any evidence of being saved. Now, you don't know for sure, but you don't see any evidence, and you're concerned about them. You have a question mark about them. Would you be honest? Would you lift your hand up? You know somebody like that? Can I ask you to do this? Can you get their face in your mind? Make that personal. You see them? Now they're going to begin to play. Let's stand on our feet. There's a big altar up here. This is going to be a month of prayer. How about you come around an altar tonight with that face in your mind? Why don't you call their name out? Nobody needs to know, just you and the Lord. Why don't you come? Call their name out. Ask God how to give you wisdom to help them. Maybe they're saved, but they're just not where they need to be. And you know it. You don't have to share any details with anybody. But you're going to come to the Lord. You're safe with Him. He knows already. I've been so encouraged here recently. Some folks have gotten saved. They're wanting to grow in the Lord. Help participate in our fasting and praying time. I heard a preacher say many, many years ago, and I have to agree with him, all of our failures are prayer failures. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight as we open this book and we have looked into the future. Lord, we know it's true. Lord, we don't understand it all because of where we are in our minds and it's things we've never seen before, but Lord, we know it's true. Lord, we do know that you're a God of love, you're a God of mercy, but Lord, we also know you are a God of judgment. And Lord, we know here after a while, sometime in the future, you're going to bring out that judgment upon people that have rejected you. So Lord, during this age of grace, I pray, and Lord, we know you love these people more than we can love them, but Lord, I pray you'd hear the prayers of our people tonight,
And Lord, I pray that these ones that they're concerned about, that you'd bring something into their life that would convict them and they would look unto you. Lord, if there's someone out there listening tonight on by way of means of the internet, I pray you'll speak to their hearts, convict them. They'll trust you as their Savior. Lord, if there's anybody in this building, Lord, it's cold and complacent, I pray you would work in their heart, charge them up, realize that you are the answer to life. Help us to be spreading your good news. Help us now. We have so much work to do in these days. Help us now. Keep us faithful. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people say it. How many of you glad you've been here tonight? Amen. Fist bump somebody and tell them, God bless you. Have a great evening.